a child of God tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you heard your name called? You were given a choice. And you said, Lord, I'm going to make that clear-cut decision. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to continue in the old way, Lord. I want to walk on with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, let's just bow our heads tonight. Father, how we love you so much, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free. Thank you, Lord, for binding the enemy, Lord, that would try and bind us, Lord, with fear. Oh, God. Thank you for setting the captive free tonight. Lord, bless your word tonight. Lord, we just commit ourselves to you once again, Lord. Lord, we honor you and thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for these stories, Lord, in the Old Testament, Lord, that give us such encouragement, Lord. Lord, they give us courage in our hearts, Lord. Because we can see ourselves in the Scripture. We can place ourselves right there and we say, yes, I'm like Ruth. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I pray tonight that you would just bless your children. Lord, bless your word as it goes forth. Lord, may we draw closer to you as our prayer. May you be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to continue reading in Ruth chapter 1 tonight. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Ruth chapter 1, verse 14. Just continue thought we started this morning. They, Ruth and Orpah, the daughters-in-law of Naomi, lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. She wasn't just satisfied with just saying, I love you, or I'm a Christian, or I love Jesus. But she held on. She grabbed a hold and wouldn't let go. Amen. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back to her people and unto her gods. The churches have allowed worldlyism in and politics, and they've allowed the things of the world to cool them off, to become lukewarm. Return after thy sister-in-law. Why don't you go that way too? And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. To death do us part. It's quite an oath, amen? Amen. You can be seated tonight. We want to pick this story back up, the story of Ruth tonight. Before I forget, there's I put up a flyer back in the bulletin board there. We're going to be having youth meetings in December with some youth coming from overseas to visit. So we've got a flyer back there, and we'll be having some weekend services, amen, for the youth. So just check out that flyer back there. I'm sure there'll be more details to come. So we pick up the story of Ruth. Again, it's the story of Ruth, not Naomi, not Boaz, certainly not Orpah, amen. But it couldn't be a story of Ruth without Boaz. And really, without Naomi, Naomi plays a part. But if there wasn't a Boaz to redeem Ruth, we wouldn't be reading about Ruth today. She would just be another Moabite. Like I said, just another nobody. But God took a nobody and made somebody out of her. Because of Boaz. Because of the kinsman redeemer. Amen. He's the one that made the difference. Her choice to receive the kinsman redeemer. The choice the decision to walk with Naomi towards redemption and then to receive it. All the things that she did along the way. Amen. What a blessing, amen? What a blessed story. Now, so far in Ruth chapter 1, it's been a story of bad decisions. Amen? It's been a story of a family leaving church. Amen? A family of quitting God, quitting church when the going got tough. And they went out to Moab, a type of a lukewarm experience. Amen? Maybe they just decided, well, we're just going to listen to tapes and we're just going to stream. But they left the church. Amen? They left God's provided place of worship. We know that is Christ. Amen? But He has a body that He ministers through. So it's been a story of bad decisions, going out on their own, leaving behind the land of promise. They had become comfortable in Moab. They had become fully lukewarm, amen, halfway believers. And we found that as Naomi was making a decision to go back to Israel, or to go back to the land of promise, it's a type of Israel returning to her homeland, amen. And now we pick it up as the Gentile daughters-in-law are making their decision. Naomi's already decided. She's going back. She's got nothing left. Amen? She went out full and she's coming back empty. Israel went out, you know, they went out and they had great wealth and different things. They were successful out in the lands. But then God, through His mercy, allowed a Holocaust to come and drive them back. And they came back empty. They came back broken, but hopeful. They came back looking to God, humbled. Amen? And so, she's made her decision, but now, the Gentiles that have, where the truth has come across their path, they've been exposed to the truth. Now they have an opportunity to make their choice. Is that right? They've got an opportunity that others have not had. They can follow Christ or not. And the Gentiles were given this opportunity. We were given this opportunity through the Jews. Amen. The early church, it was all Jewish. Right? Peter, all the apostles, Paul, they brought the gospel to us. And then we are given a choice. We are allowed now to choose. But when the truth has come across your path, it's both an opportunity to choose life, but it also means that you are forced to choose. You must either accept it or reject it. You can't stay neutral any longer. You can't use the excuse, I didn't know, I wasn't told. When it comes across your path, now you know. Now He's on your hands. And every time we come to church, we come into that situation. The word is preached. Now the word is on your hands. Maybe you didn't know. Maybe the word hadn't come and dealt with that situation in your life. Maybe the Holy Spirit hadn't convicted you yet, but now the word is coming forth. And that conviction is coming, and now it's on your hands. What are you going to do with it? Amen. As we progress through our walk, God deals with us at different levels. Right? When we first come in, it's big things that are getting cleaned off of us. Right? But as we walk, God is dealing with other things. And we thought, man, you know, if I could just, dress like a Christian and, you know, not go to parties or whatever. That would be awesome, right? But then God cleans you up. And now sin becomes exceeding sinful, right? And it's something else. As you get closer to Him, He convicts you of sin. Amen? Things that you didn't realize before, but now you see it and now you have to do something. You were ignorant before. And God allowed it, and God winked at it, but as soon as the word comes and exposes it, now you have to choose. And so they came to this spot where they had to choose, and it came down to a tough decision. Amen? And Orpha, the daughter-in-law that types the lukewarm believer, she made the choice, listen to this, she made the choice that made the most sense. Right? She made the choice. If you were going to sit down and write out like pros and cons and, you know, think about, well, should I do this or should I do that? You know, as, you know, an intellectual person might, she made a smart choice from human thinking. Right? I mean, think about it. I mean, this is the place where her homeland, where she grew up. She knows people here. Look, she's a widow. She's not in a great economic position. She needs somebody to help take care of her. She has family here. She probably has brothers and other family members that can help her out, right? There would be more opportunity open to her. Makes perfect sense, right? She's comfortable here. She knows people here. Why would she choose to go somewhere where she doesn't know anybody? She doesn't know if there's any opportunity. She has no family to help her. She's going with her mother-in-law who's, you know, she won't say it to her face, but she's cursed. Right? She's got a crazy religion. She's a fanatic. Right? Israel is not looked highly upon by the other nations. Right? They're just a bunch of old cranks and fanatics. They want to do things Jehovah's way and, you know, they're real particular about it and whatever. Right? But she could stay in her homeland. The place where she was raised. She could stay and she would be provided for. Right? And she could eke out a living that way and she could make it. Amen? She loved Naomi, but only up to a certain point. Right? She was happy, as we said this morning, to have an excuse to turn back. When Naomi said, no, 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 you know. She was like, okay. Right? I'm okay staying. I'm okay with that. That time of decision and that time of testing shows what's really going on the inside. It shows what you're really made of. It showed what Orpha really was made of. Amen? It showed where her heart was. Brother Branham says this in the Kinsman Redeemer. We read this morning, but I wanted to just read it again. We read it right towards the end of the service this morning. He says, but, oh, how I like that little Ruth. She had to make a decision, and I had to make a decision, and you've got to make a decision. You'll never walk out of these doors this morning without some kind of a decision. You'll not leave this room today, either being a better man or woman or a worse man or woman. To reject it, you'll be worse. It'll be harder the next time for you to get to it, or you'll go out better. There comes a showdown in her life. There comes a showdown in everybody's life. Amen? And Ruth had to make a decision. So the Bible said that her mother-in-law told her, go back to your gods like your sister did. Go back like the lukewarm did. Why don't you go on back? And the gospel preacher, if you want to go, go on. Right? Do what's in your heart. Don't be a hypocrite. But he can change your heart. The real truthful preacher that'll put it before the class of people and say, you make your decision. Stand on your feet. The lukewarm, wishy-washy, in and out won't say that. But a real servant of God will lay it on your lap. Make your decision. Ruth said, I'll go where you go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you live, I'll live. Where you die, I'll die. Where you're buried, I'll be buried. He says, there's the real decision. Amen. That's a real decision. Lord, I'll take you as my Savior. If the Bible says, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that I'll do. If the Bible said I must receive the Holy Ghost, that I'll do. If the Bible tells me Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that I'll believe. I'll take the Bible and God for what He's wrote and what He is, no matter what anybody else says. He says, there's the real Ruth. Now I want to insert something here just real quick, because He's using these words of, she made her decision, and we're talking about make a decision and things like that. I've been reading a book about Billy Graham, and it was written by Franklin Graham, talking about Billy Graham's life. Interesting. And Billy Graham, as you know, was one of the angels sent, amen, just typed by one of the angels sent to Sodom, but he was one of the angel messengers that are typed by those angels that are sent to blind the eyes, right, of the world out there. But he preached a simple gospel of repentance, amen. And his message was all about trying to get people to a decision for Christ, amen. And I was just reading it today, in fact, where Brother Branham says that he met with him, or he heard him talking about, or he was in a meeting, I believe it was, where he was talking with a bunch of preachers, and he's saying, you lazy preachers, all right? The Bible says that Paul went into an area, and he had one man, and then he had all these converts, and he says, I'll go and have 10,000 converts, and I can't find one, you know, a year later. And he says, it's you preachers, you're not going out and you're not, you know, contacting the people and working with them and so on. And you know, Brother Branham, he said, well, you know, not to disagree or be disagreeable with the great Billy Graham, but Paul took the man all the way to the Holy Ghost. He didn't just have him make a decision. Okay, so the reason I say that is when we're talking tonight about Ruth's decision, this is a different type than just an intellectual decision. A Billy Graham type experience decision is, yeah, I think I'll be a Christian. Right? Yeah, I want to be saved. So sure, I'll go down and, yeah, why wouldn't I want to be saved? Right? I'll go down and they didn't have to give anything up. They didn't have to die out to anything. They didn't have to bear any reproach. They didn't have to leave behind anything. Right? That's not a decision like Ruth is making. Yes. Right. Ruth is making I don't care what I have to do. Amen. I'm going to hold on to you. Amen. Because where else shall I go? Amen. Right? That's the kind of decision that we're talking about. Amen. So we're not talking about, you know, the lukewarm church type decision. Just thought I'd insert that in there. Because they'll use that terminology. Come make a decision for Christ. Well, you know, that's a good first step, but you got to go a little further than that. And the problem is that they believe that that's all you have to do. That's as far as you go. And man, you'll end up like an orpha. Turning back like a dog to its vomit. Amen. So he says, there's the real Ruth. He says, she made her decision. She had to either go back or forward. And we stand on that same grounds this morning. Go back or go forward. Don't never go back, he says. Let's go on forward. On into the promised land they went, into the land of strange people. Strange people. They were strange to Ruth, right? Because she didn't know them. So tonight we want to look in depth a little bit more about Ruth's decision. Amen? And we stand on that same ground tonight. We can either go back or go forward. Whenever we hear the word of God, we can choose to receive it and accept it and walk in it. Or we can choose to shovel it. Amen? Because the brother or sister behind you probably needs it more than you. So you shovel it on back. I don't know what the people in the back row do. Shovel it forward? I don't know. Brother Branham says in the message, Desperations, he says, Ruth got desperate one time when she was standing by Naomi. desperate, he says. Look, he's putting a different kind of tenor on this thing, right? This is not an easy decision that she's just making, right? She's in desperations. He says, would she have to go back to her people, to all that she loved and all that she worshipped, her gods and her people, or would she cleave to Naomi? What must she do? She got in desperation and she cried out. So this, when she says these words, he says she's crying out in desperation.
Right?
She realizes the seriousness of what she's saying. She's not just saying, well, you know, I'll say this today and then tomorrow I'll change my mind and maybe if it works out. She cried out, where you go, I'll go. Where you live, I'll live. Where you die, I'll die. Where you're buried, I'll be buried. And your God shall be my God. He says, there you are, desperate. And God blessed her and gave her a son, Obed. And Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse through Jesse come Jesus. Because of desperation. My, my, my. So when we all come to the time of temptation, to the time of testing, the question comes, am I going to stay with God's word? Amen. Jesus came to that time of testing. Amen. Satan tested him and tempted him to see what he would do. Amen. He took him out into the desert. He took him up to a high place. He tempted him. He tested him. Is he going to stay with God's word? Or is he going to just kind of try and weasel out of it? Amen? Are you going to stay with God's word? Are you going to have the attitude of Ruth that says, I don't care where I have to go, what I have to do, I'll die with you. Amen? Think about the time when Brother Branham was tempted when his wife and daughter were dead or dying, right? And Satan came to tempt him and he said, after all that you've done, you've preached for him, you've stayed up late at night, you've been out on the streets, you've borne a reproach, you don't have friends anymore, you lost all your friends, right? All these things that you've done for God and now he turns his back on you. What are you going to do? What's going to hold you in that hour? Amen. Are you going to stand true to that oath? It's just like a marriage, brother, sister. You come to times in your marriage, you know, where things are strained and tested, but you made an oath. You made a promise.
Amen.
Until death do us part. Amen. We come to times of desperation, critical junctures in our life, where God allows us to be tested. And he wants to see what you're going to do, Ruth. Are you going to turn back? Or are you going to continue on even though you have no idea where you're going? What's in front of you? Job was tested that way too. Right? He was tested. Everything that he had was taken away from him. Are you going to curse God? Are you going to turn back? Are you going to turn back on your testimony? While you were wealthy and things were going good, you were saying how great God was and how good God was. What about now, Job? Are you going to go back on that testimony? Job essentially said, though he slay me, right? I will die where he dies. I will go where he goes. If this is his will for me, so be it.
Amen.
A critical juncture. At that critical time in Brother Branham's life, when the enemy came to tempt him, and God, he said it was like a black curtain. He wouldn't hear his prayer. But he said, something rose up inside of him. He said, I was just about to agree with them. But something rose up inside of me, he said. Something rose up inside of him and said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Something rose up inside of Ruth and she chose life. She didn't have to get out a spreadsheet and figure out all the pros and cons of staying versus leaving. Something in her chose life. Something in her was drawn to a land she had never seen before. Hallelujah. Something was calling her to where she said, wherever you go, that's where I will go. Where you go, I will go, to a place I've never been, to a place I've never seen, a place of strange culture, strange people that I've never met, to a nation that doesn't have the best reputation among the other nations. It doesn't have the glitz and the glamour. They didn't even have a king. They didn't have an army. Remember, this is in the time of the judges. And we know that they must have felt behind, because later on they said, we want a king like the other nations. Right? We're not measuring up. She said, but wherever you go, I'll go. If you are there, they will find me with you. And where you lodge, where you sleep, where you find your rest, no matter how humble. Jesus said the foxes have holes and, you know, the animals have a place to sleep. He says, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. No matter how humble. Brother Branham said, if I have to eat soda crackers and drink branch water. Right? He says, I'll preach this gospel. Ruth says, wherever you lodge, wherever you lay your head, that's where I'm going to lodge. I want to be where Jesus is. No matter how humble it is. No matter how lowly. And brother, sister, if he's not welcome, I'm not welcome. That's what she was saying. Wherever you lodge, wherever you're welcome, that's where I'll be. Where you're not welcome, where you're not there, I won't go. Because I will be with you. Amen. Brother Branham said this. He said, Simon, my son, when the Messiah cometh, Moses, by the word, said he'd be a prophet like him. He's talking about Simon Peter. And then when Andrew had been to see Jesus, he'd come back and try to tell him. I imagine Peter shook his head and said, I am a fisherman. I've invested in my father's nets. Right? I'm going to catch fish. That's my occupation. He's listing off all the reasons why he can't follow this one. And I'm a Pharisee, so I'll just let it be like this. I go to church. I'm as good as any other man. That's all. That's good. I belong to church that my father belonged to, or tradition. I'll just keep with that. But one day, he walked in the presence of this one. And as soon as he come in his presence, he said, your name is Simon, and you're the son of Jonas. Not only did he know him and who he was, but he knowed his godly old father who had instructed him. And it was according to the word, a prophet. And Peter made an investment. He dropped his nets. He said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. How different from the rich young ruler who wanted to maintain his wealth, but he dropped everything he had to follow Jesus. We're not looking for wealth tonight, but we're looking to be faithful followers. Amen? His disciples left their homes, left their jobs, they dropped everything. Their goals in life, their friends, they left them behind to follow Jesus. If their friends wanted to come, and then that was fine. But if their friends didn't, then they were leaving them behind. They weren't asking, well, you know, are we going to stay in the nice 5-star hotels and we're going to eat 3 squares a day? You know, we've got a good ministerial organization here that's going to feed us and care for us. They weren't asking those kind of questions. They weren't worried about where their next meal was going to come from. You know, until everybody got hungry, they were like, hey, We're all hungry. What are we going to eat? But that had no bearing on whether they were going to walk with him. They weren't asking those type of questions. They just dropped everything and followed him. Basically saying, wherever you go, I'll go. Amen. In the Message Respects, Brother Branham says, some time ago in New Albany, while I was standing there talking to a sinner, leading him to Christ, a big old rough-handed man in his garage, a man was a friend of mine. His son-in-law run the garage next door. I was standing there preaching at a dinner hour, eating a sandwich and talking to him about God. Through the daytime, I'd find somewhere where I could go at dinner time and try to win a soul to Christ. And he said, Mr. Branham, he said, I was just a boy preacher myself. He said, Mr. Branham said, my mother had that kind of religion, that heartfelt religion, and the tears was running down his cheeks. I said, how long has she been gone? He said, years. She always prayed for me. I said, the God that heard her prayers is trying to answer them right now for her. And this man walked in there. So he's talking about this other man. This other man walked in there and he said, hello. And he was drunk. Said, hey, Billy, listen. Said, anytime you want to come over to my garage, said, you come. But said, don't bring that old holy roller religion of yours over there. I looked and turned, or I turned and looked at him and I said, anywhere Christ is not welcome, I'll not be. That should be our testimony tonight, brother, sister. Anywhere Christ is not welcome, I'll not be. Why? Because I'll go where he goes. I'll lodge where he lodges. Where he rests his head, that's where I want to be. So he turned around and said, I'll get next to yourself, boy. And I just heard in my heart a voice say, you reap what you sow. It would be better for you that a millstone was hanged at your neck and drowned in the depths of the sea. His own son-in-law that very same afternoon run over him with a 2-ton Chevrolet truck loaded down and mashed him down into the ground. See, you've got to respect God. You've got to. God demands respect. He demands it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, brother, sister, we have a balance to that, right? Because, you know, you could make the argument that Christ is not welcome just about anywhere in this world, right? And we would never go anywhere, right? But we know that there are places where the Holy Spirit is not pleased to go with you, amen? There are places where a Christian shouldn't be, amen? And so we know that Jesus wouldn't be welcome there. Why would we want to go there? Amen. We want him to feel welcome wherever we are, at our home, in our offices. Amen. And especially at church. We want him to be welcome. Is that right? Amen. Amen. We would see Jesus. He says, now if we're going down into Binghamham tonight, if our Lord Jesus was here tonight, and I say this with reverence, perhaps he would be rejected by 99% of the church members in Binghamham tonight. Think about that. In the way that he would come, in the form that, in our theology, the way that we have taught him to be and so forth, if he walked in, dressed as an ordinary man and start teaching, perhaps many of them would not welcome him and put him out of the church because his policies would be so much different. For if Jesus is the same, the religious people of the world is the same. You see, friends, God never takes his spirit from the earth. God takes his man, but not his spirit. The spirit that was upon Elijah, come upon Elisha, and then upon John the Baptist, and predicted to come in these last days. See, God never takes his spirit, he takes his man. He'd taken Christ, but Christ's spirit returned to the earth. The devil takes his man, but never the spirit. And the same religious cults of that day, high, classic, educated, scholarly, them same spirits live right on today. The same kind of people are captured by the same influence of teachers. When Jesus would come in today, he'd probably be just as unwelcomed as he was then. For he certainly didn't endorse their churches or their theology and was turned out bitterly because their priests and ministers didn't believe him. They said he was a devil because he did the works of God that the Bible said he would do. And we know that in Revelation chapter 3, he's outside of the church knocking, trying to get back in. Amen? And we want to let him in. We want him to be welcome. But I don't want to go where he's not welcome. Amen? Brother Branham says, from the beginning it was not so. He says, that's the way they do today. They go to the church to think that maybe they could find him there. One will run over to the Methodist church and they'll find out what they believe. They'll run over to the Baptist church, to another church, and to the other, seeking amongst the churches. And when it's all told up, they find a big bunch of creeds and Christ is not there. Amen. So I want to go where he leads. Amen. And I don't want to be trying to figure it out ahead of time and be the one that's leading. He's the one that's supposed to lead. I can't lead myself. Ruth had never been to that country. She had never been there. She didn't know the way. She had to follow the leading, amen. She had to be led by Naomi. But she was willing to be led. She was willing to maybe go a way that, you know, maybe they were going over one hill and down one path. And, you know, maybe she looked at it and go, why are we going this way? But she went. Amen? And she didn't try and lead herself. She said, Naomi, wherever you lay your head, when the night falls and you are laying down to sleep, I will be right there. Amen. What a vow. Amen. What a decision that she made. Let's be that way with Christ. Amen. Lord, where you're working, I want to be involved. I want to be there. I want to be part of what you're doing. Amen. I want to be sensitive to your leading. And I want to allow you to just lead me. And I don't want to have my own ideas about where we're going. Right? Just show me, Lord, where to lay my head. He's the one that knows how to get there. So we stay with the word. Amen. You know, there's a saying that, you can shadow someone. And we used to do that at work. You know, they called it job shadowing, right? Somebody knows how to do something. Somebody else wants to learn that job. They would shadow them. Call it job shadowing, right? Where they would just basically follow them around all the time. And if they did something a certain way, they would do it too, right? All right, not mimicking them like a clown, but, you know, they would show them, well, I do it a certain way, and okay, now you do it. Okay, now I'll do it the same certain way. They would teach them. They would shadow them. And, you know, if you think about it, if you become somebody's shadow, have you ever tried to get rid of your shadow? Outrun your shadow? Amen? As long as there's light, you've got a shadow. It might be faint, but it's there. And you can't escape it. And it's like tied to you, right? We want to be his shadow. We want to be so close to him that wherever anybody finds Christ, there you are. Where you find his word, I'm there. I'm in his word and I'm following his word and I'm living his word. I'm holding on to his word. Amen. Ruth wanted to become Naomi's shadow. Amen, if we can put it that way. So third, she said, thy people will be my people. Amen. I want to associate with that type of people. And all she had to go on was Naomi's testimony. The only people that she knew about was one. Sometimes you're the only representative to Christ that somebody might know. But are you living the kind of life where they go, you know what? That's the kind of person that I want to be around. Amen? That's the kind of person. That my coworker, They're so sweet, and no matter what's going on, they somehow they always have a peace about them. Amen. The rest of us get around and we talk about politics and how this is wrong and that is wrong, but that person, I don't know, they just seem to have such a calm and such a peace. There's something, there's a power in there that comes from somewhere else. Amen? Or are you right in the mix of the bunch, talking politics? Amen? Trying to solve the world's problems. Satan's Eden's problems. She said, I want to be around people like you, Naomi. You're so sweet and you love God so much. And, you know, I just like being around you. That should be our testimony. Amen? Not, well, what's your religion again? I don't know if I want to have anything to do with that. If it produced what's going on in your life, sour faces all the time, always complaining about this or that, why would I want that? Oh, man, come to church. You can get religion like I got. I don't know if I want it like what you got. Amen. She says, I want to be around people like that. I want to be around people like you that praise God. They're not afraid. They've got a heartfelt religion. They're not afraid to raise their hands a little bit. They're not afraid to shout and praise God and sing songs and thank Him for His goodness. They've got a real religion. Amen. It's heartfelt. It's not a put on. They're not hypocrites. Amen. She watched her life. She knew she wasn't a hypocrite. Amen. Worship with all their heart. People that really believe what they say. They live what they say they believe. Amen. They're living out the Bible. They're holding on to the Bible. Holding on to God's Word. They got something solid in their life. That's the kind of person. I want to be around them. Amen. I may not be like them, but I want to be around them. Right? She said, your people will be my people. Warts and all. Amen. I don't want to hang around lukewarm church members. Amen? That's not a good influence for me. I want my church family to be on fire. I want the power of God moving in their lives. Moving in our churches. Moving in our families. I want that people to be my people. Amen? Man, that's what she was saying. I want to see God on display. I want to see God living and alive in that people. She said, your people, that kind of people, that's my people. That's where I'm comfortable. That's where I want to find my niche. Not like Orpha, right? Who was like, well, my comfort zone is back with these idol worshipers. Lukewarm church members. That was her people. Naomi said, well, look, I'm in between, but let your people be my people. Now, she was confessing that by faith because they were not her people. Amen? They weren't. She wasn't one of them. But by God's grace, she became one. She went and hung around them long enough till she got redeemed herself, and then she became one. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good advice. If you can't shout a little bit, if you can't be a true blue Pentecostal believer, just hang around those. Amen. Hang around those that do worship. Pretty soon you'll be there too. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Brown says, see, people must have things in common. My mother, she used to have an expression, birds of a feather flock together. You don't see buzzards and doves feeding together. Right? He says, one's a scavenger, and the dove couldn't eat the buzzard's food because he don't have any gall and he couldn't digest it. And you don't see believers and unbelievers together unless there's some kind of a purpose for it. There's something wrong. Now, that doesn't mean you won't see them sitting on a bus next to each other, right? That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is you won't see them fellowshipping and hanging around together, and right? Being close. Unless there's some kind of a purpose for it. He says there's something wrong. This guy had a trick up his sleeve and he wanted to play it on Jesus. Now, you take people, he's talking about a Pharisee, he says, like you take young people, young teenage children, they don't like to be around with the old folks because they have things in common. The young married couples, they have things in common. The old people, they don't want to be around the kids and so forth. They got things in common. When you see a little girl hanging with grandma all the time, now there's something wrong there. There's too much difference in their age. She's either grandma's pet or grandma's got a sack of candy somewhere, see? He says, there's a trick somewhere. And I got a grandchild myself, and I know there's a little trick somewhere, see? And you see her hanging around grandma, grandma's got a sack of candy or something. Right? Because otherwise, you want to be with your people. Right? You want to, birds of a feather flock together, as he said. So where do you find yourself being comfortable? She said, your people will be my people. That's the kind of people that I want to be associated with. They're not the richest, they're not the... Well, I was going to say they're not the best looking, but y'all are pretty good looking. Amen? They're not the smartest, the most successful, the richest, whatever. They're not the ones that the world looks at and holds up and says, be like these people. Far from it. They'll say, don't be like that bunch. That's my people. I remember Brother Branham talking about, you know, he had a meeting and they were sharing an auditorium and, you know, there was somebody else having a meeting there and he said all his group came out and they were all, you know, stuffed shirt and they were all cleaned up nice and they came walking out and he says, and then it was my turn for my people to come in. And they came in straight jackets and, you know, wheelchairs and stretchers and, right? It was the sick and the needy, but he said that he called them my people. Right. Why? Because they were God's children that were looking to God. Amen. Doesn't matter what we look like on the outside. What matters is the heart. Amen? So then, she said, your people will be my people. And then, she said, and your God. Your God will be my God. Amen. Now, she didn't know this God. Right? The commentators say that there's kind of a phrase built into this that it says, to the very altars. In other words, I'm going to follow you so completely that it will go to the very heart of my religion, to the very altars. I'm going to commit myself to your God. She said farewell to the old gods of Moab. Amen. Amen. Everything she had been taught. Everything she had grown up with. Her parents, no doubt. She had to disavow that God, those gods that her parents probably had in their house. Idols and things that she had been raised with. And she had to face the reproach of saying goodbye to the gods of Moab. She was willing to admit that she had been living wrong. She had to disavow everything she had worshipped up to that point, right? That they had held to these other gods in addition to Jehovah. Right? Because they weren't total heathens, but they were just mixing things up. But she had to repent. She had to admit she was wrong. Amen. These idols that had been held up for her entire life, she had to just say, well, I disavow that. She was correctable. She was humble. Amen? She was zealously repenting. Because she had been caught up into false religion. It's interesting because she was leaving them behind literally and figuratively, right? She was actually doing what we talk about in a figurative sense, right? Leaving it behind. She was actually leaving it behind. Going to another country and saying, I won't worship those other gods anymore. Your God, Naomi, is going to be my God. Some people come out of the false and they just pack it with them. Amen? Come out of denominations and bring denomination with them. Come out of false doctrine and just pack it right along with them. Why'd you even bother to come out? Leave it behind. There's only one true God. And His Word is true. Leave behind the false ideas. Leave behind the false teaching. She left it behind. She left it in the dust. Literally, amen? She was holding on to the living God of the living Word. She said, Naomi, your God, that's going to be my God. Not all these other gods, but your God. I'm holding on. She clave to Naomi. Right? She wasn't just holding on to Naomi, she was holding on to Him. Now again, she doesn't know anything about Him at this point. Not truly. Right? She's been taught a false version in Moab. She's been told about it probably, and right? She's got a weird, twisted up version of Jehovah. But she's about to find out the truth. But there's something in her. Something on the inside when she hears that word. When she hears the truth. Amen. When Naomi would speak of the things of the homeland that she's never seen, but something in her would just, it just rang out. It made a certain sound. Amen. This is the truth. This is the true and living God. Maybe you didn't know, maybe you couldn't explain it all through the Bible, but when you heard truth, something just rang out. Amen, is that right? Is that your testimony? Abraham didn't really know much about God when he called him, but he called him to leave his father's house, leave behind the idols, leave behind everything. He didn't know about redemption and all these other things. He didn't know much about Him at all, but he had faith. Something rang in his heart through faith, and he grabbed a hold of it and said, okay, Lord, I trust you. You will be my God. Amen. Are we sons of Abraham tonight? Amen. He had faith. Faith can't explain it. Faith can't draw it out for you necessarily. But faith believes. She didn't know what she was getting into, but she believed. She said, your God will be my God. She didn't even know if she'd be accepted. But she knew it was true anyway. You know, Brother Branham said one thing that always, people like to repeat, and it's an astounding statement, right? He says, look, if God were to send me to hell, I would love Him anyway. Right? Well, she doesn't know if she's going to be accepted even. She doesn't know if she's going to have a place in God's economy, but yet she recognizes truth. And she says, even if He refuses me, He's still God. Amen? But He's so good and gracious. Amen? He was the one working on her heart. Because no one can come to Christ except the Father draws him first. We don't know where that road leads. She didn't know where the road led, but she knew who she was following. She knew who was leading. Amen? She knew who was leading. So then she says, where you die, I'll die. You're not going to get rid of me. Amen. Let me follow you in every way possible. And let my end be as your end. That's what she was saying, right? Jesus told us, take up your cross daily and follow me. Die daily. Die the way I died. The Bible says that he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. We have to die as he died. Amen. Die out to our flesh, following him in the same manner. It's not a physical cross, obviously, right? He went to a physical cross. But for us, it's dying to our flesh. Jesus in the garden said, not my will, but thine be done. He died. We have to die as he died. Let me die. Where you die, I will die. Esteeming a brother greater than our own wishes. Living a life of sacrifice. Amen? That's dying out. Giving our lives that others might be saved. That's what Jesus did. Is that right? Hallelujah. Dying to the flesh every day. And then she said, not only where you die will I die, but there will I be buried. Where you are buried, I will be buried. We are buried with Christ in baptism. Amen? And if we are buried with him, then we have assurance to raise as he raised. I want to be buried where he's buried. Amen. Not physically, right? Because he's not there anymore. Amen. But that we would be buried in like manner. We will be raised in like manner. Amen? See, she didn't want to be carried back to Moab. That would have been the tradition, where her homeland, if she hadn't given instruction, they would have said, well, she probably wants to be buried with her family back in Moab. But she said, no, I want to cut off every last bit of Moab from me. Amen. Amen. I will be buried where she is buried. Right. The place of burial spoke of their faith in life. Amen. The Jews are buried in specific places, speaking because they believe in a resurrection. They have faith and they have confidence that God is going to raise the dead again. And they have confidence in the matter in which he's going to do it. They believe a certain word. They have a revelation. And so they are buried with that revelation. It speaks of your revelation. That you will take, you will go all the way to your grave believing what you believe. That even unto death and burial, I will go where you go. I will die where you die. I will be buried where you are buried. Amen. I believe in that resurrection, don't you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Got another quote here that I skipped over, but I want to read it. It says, notice, Ruth was willing to forsake her idols, forsake her past life, forsake her people, forsake everything to return with Naomi. No matter what the circumstance was, she was willing to go on. That's the way every man that comes to Christ must first be willing, regardless. I don't like to tell the people, oh, you're going to be prosper and be a rich man and God's going to bless you. You ain't going to have no sickness. I don't promise them that, because God doesn't promise them that. I say, if you're really born again in your heart, I don't care how rough the road gets, you'll still hold on to God's unchanging hand. No matter what lays before me, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go. Hallelujah. As long as he goes, that's all that's necessary. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him. Where he goes, I will go. Where he dies, I will die. Where he is buried, I will be buried. It says, therefore, we are buried with him in baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Walking in the resurrection. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's a lifetime commitment. It's not something that we just play with and try out and, well, if that doesn't work out, we'll just try the next thing. Right? She was making a clear-cut decision. There was no plan B, as Brother Doug likes to say, right? Their door number two or whatever, right? This was it. This was the plan. And the contingency plan. And the contingency to the contingency plan. This was it. People like to make a contingency and then, well, if that doesn't work out, I'll do this. And if this doesn't work out, I'll do that. No, there's none of that. He is the plan. What's the plan? Christ is the plan. And he will work out. Amen? As a sort of a personal note here, I haven't really talked about it much, but many of you know that I left my job about a month ago or so. And, you know, it's one thing to quit a job. People have many jobs and things. But what I did is I left my career. And there's a difference, right? You can have a job and you can have a career. And my career, 20-plus year career, you know, that's what I left behind. I decided that the Lord was leading me to do more in the ministry and do more for His kingdom, and I couldn't do it and keep that career. It doesn't mean I won't have a job here and there, but I've left the career. You understand what I'm saying? Now that you're leaving behind something that has benefits, right? Literally, like there's benefits. Amen. There's rewards and there's benefits, and you know, it's good paying, right? There's the comfort of that income, but there's intangibles too. There's the comfort of knowing that, you know, as a man, you're providing for your family and you're doing this. And I've pretty much worked my entire life in our family. If you were work, you were either working or you were going to school, right? And that was it. It was one or the other, and a lot of times it was both. So I've had jobs since I was, I don't know, 10 or 11, right? And there's kind of a comfort there in that, yeah, you know, I'm doing this thing, and I know if I get up every day, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, right? And that you're needed. And, you know, I like I said, I was in that field for 20 years. I had gotten to a certain level where I kind of knew a thing or two. Right? And I was senior, senior level, and they were asking me if I wanted to promote to this and promote to that and do these things. But I realized that that's not what God called me to do. There was nothing sinful about it. Right? But there is something more important. There's a race to be run. A lifetime commitment. Amen? I had to make a decision, a clean-cut decision. And I could have continued as a minister and do what I had been doing. And there's no shame in that. There's no problem with that at all. Just like our pastor, same kind of thing, right? There's nothing that says you can't work and do those things and be a minister. But I also knew that God was calling me to something else. Right. And you've got to respond to it. Right. And it's hard, but I'm going to go where He goes. Right? Amen. Right? I'm going to die where He dies. Right? Whatever happens, I want to be with Him. I want to be walking with Him. Amen. And so that's my experience, that we all have to do those sorts of things. Now, for you, I'm not saying you have to go leave your job, right? That's not what we're trying to say. To be spiritual, you have to quit. You can't work. No, quite the opposite. The Word commands us to provide. We should be working. We should be a good example in our communities. Amen? We should be, like the Word tells us, you know, like the ants, right? Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat. All these things, right? We understand these things. So I'm not saying that at all, but what I am saying is that we all have those kind of decisions. Right? For some of you, it was to leave a place, to leave a church, to leave home. I did that too. Right? We've all had to make these kind of decisions. But brother, sister, when we do that, we're leaving a area of comfort. It's hard. But he's leading us to something. Amen? So tonight, what is he leading you from? I'll just put the question out there. Because he's leading you away from something. Even if it's, you know, just something in your life that's not pleasing to him, or, you know, whatever it is. But he's leading you into something as well. He's calling you into greater consecration, maybe, or to greater sacrifice, or to greater prayer, and he's leading you from something to something. So what is he leading you from, and what is he leading you to? Because every time the word comes across our path, we come to this crossroads that Ruth was at. And we come to a place where we have to decide, am I going to go on, or am I going to fall back? Am I going to just stay where I'm at? Or am I going to just be comfortable? Amen? Brother Branham says this in the Kinsman Redeemer message. He says, that's it. No matter if I'll pay a price, whatever others do, if it means disgrace, if it means to lose home, to lose family, all your associates, girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever it means, I'll go alone. I'll take the way. If my neighbor says I'm a holy roller or a Pentecostal or fanatic, I don't care what they say. Should have heard seen some of the looks I got from coworkers when I told them what I was doing. Yeah. You're doing what? No, what is this? Explain this to me again. What? Yeah. No. What job did you get? Where are you going? Because everybody, you know, in our industry, in IT, people just, I mean, there's a lot of turnover, right? And there's a lot of jobs. That's the other thing. There's a lot of jobs right now in that field. The way the economy is, and even in this town, there's a lot of jobs. I could go get a job, right? I could get a better job if I wanted it. I know I could. I'm just stating a fact, right? And they all assumed, okay, so where are you going, right? What'd you get? Well, tell me about this great. Well, that's not what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. Right? I'm a minister. I'm a Christian. God is calling me to commit more to the ministry. That's what I tell them. Now they know, yeah, you go overseas or whatever. Oh, yeah, so what do? You build, you know, build bridges or build schools and a preacher. I don't care what they say, he says. It doesn't make one bit of difference to me. And honestly, that was my attitude too. It's like, well, you guys can think I'm crazy. I honestly don't care what you think. Right? Because, you know, I respect what people think of me in certain instances. Right? But if I don't have a respect for, I don't have any respect for somebody's spirituality, why would I care what they think about me in a spiritual sense? Right? It's not that I don't like them, but I just don't care what you think. Because I don't trust your judgment. You're an unbeliever. Why would I take counsel from you? Thank you for caring, but but I'm not interested in your opinion. Right? That's what he's saying. I don't care what they say about it. There's one that I do care about. I care what he thinks. He says, it doesn't make one bit of difference to me. I've started in, he says, I've made my decision clear, and I'm going through. Amen. And finally, we'll finish on this quote tonight. He says, I know that's a stern, cutting message, brother, but I didn't come here to choose a message to the people just to try and make them sing and shout and holler. I've been in heathen meetings where they've done the same thing. I'm interested in your life. And that's what we're interested in tonight. Amen. I'm a servant of God that's got to answer to God for someday. And the ministry that the Lord has given me has vindicated itself thousands of times before you. Remember, Jesus said, follow me, follow me. Get rid of what you've got and follow me. And that's the only way to have eternal life. That's the only remedy he gave this man was the only remedy he gave this businessman. He's talking about the rich young ruler. It's the only remedy he gives anybody, his choice. He makes his decision. It's perfect every time. And we must follow him. It's the only way to have eternal life. So the leadership of God is, follow the vindicated word of the hour by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. That, let's read that again. That bears repeating. Amen. The leadership of God is to follow the vindicated word of the hour by the Holy Ghost. The vindicated word of the hour by the Holy Ghost. That's what we want to follow. Amen. Amen. And no, that's your testimony tonight. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, we thank you for that vindicated word, Lord. We thank you for the words of life, Lord. We thank you for calling us, Lord, for interrupting our lives, Lord, with your word coming across our path, Lord, shaking us to our core and forcing us to make a decision, Lord, to follow you. And Lord, that's what we want to do tonight, Lord. We want to be pleasing to you in every way. Lord, we don't want to hesitate. Lord, I don't want to hesitate one bit. I want to be like Ruth that just cleaved, grabbed a hold of Naomi, Lord. I want to hold on to you with all that I have, Lord. And Lord, I know that when I make that decision to hold on with all my might, Lord, when my might fails, when my strength fails and I can't hold on, you'll hold on to me. I thank you so much for that, Lord. That is the overcoming power, Lord. Because we choose you, Lord, you give us the power to overcome. Thank you so much, Father. Oh, how we love you tonight, Lord. You're worthy of following. You're worthy of choosing. Lord, I choose you. I choose Jesus tonight. I choose to leave behind every other thing in this world. And I choose to follow Jesus. Lord, I pray that you help those tonight, Lord, any within the sound of my voice, Lord, that are struggling with that type of decision. They're struggling, Lord, that are at a crossroads. Struggling with their own flesh or their own desires, Lord, but yet you're calling them, make a clean-cut decision. Leave it all behind and follow me. There's nothing, brother, sister, that we can leave, that we can let go of and sacrifice that he won't repay. And that 10 and 100-fold. The blessings of God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You'll be blessed beyond measure. Ruth was leaving all that behind and yet she was going to a blessing that she had no idea how blessed she would be. Oh, sure, we may not be rich. We won't be famous. We know that. But we'll have spiritual blessings. We'll be taken care of in this life. But we'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, I pray that you just help those that are at that crossroads right now, Lord, to choose Jesus, to choose your word, to choose to live for you, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. We'll give you the glory and the praise, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name tonight. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just keep our heads bowed tonight. Amen. Let's just let the Word of God have its way in our hearts. Just in this time, let's just begin to worship him and thank him and think about what he's done for us. Isn't he worth serving? Isn't he worth praising? Isn't he worth giving everything for? Oh, hallelujah. I would love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord, how we love you tonight. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord. Just let him speak to you tonight. Prayer isn't always about us making all the noise. It's letting him speak to your heart. Let him take that word and just sink it down in your heart tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, how can I follow you more completely, Lord? How can I give myself over to you, Lord, in a greater way? How can I leave behind? What are you asking me to leave behind? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's coming real soon, brother, sister. We want to be ready, amen? We want to be ready. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus softly. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him.